Well, I've been asked for a few by a few people about where does Baptist stand on? I mean, if there are people who are looking for religious exemptions for these mandates, what as a Baptist? What should they say? Because, you know, we are not Christian Scientists, which means that, you know, we believe in medicines. We believe that medicines and vaccines and modern science is a gift from God to us, and they have really helped our lives. They are, the development of medicines and chemical compounds that extend our lives. Many of us in this room are taking daily some medical, either some medicine or some supplement or some vitamin that people have discovered through science, through proper science. And so we're not Christian Scientists. We do believe in the means of medical attention. However, there are some questions that have to be dealt with in this modern age. For example, they call abortion a medical procedure. Well, again, are there some things that are out there that would be available to us, but they're we have moral questions about them. For example, in vitro fertilization. No generation has ever had to deal with that moral dilemma until now. And, what do you do with the embryos that are not implanted? Because we know they are human. And so just because science can do things doesn't really mean that science ought to do things. And again, there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of human embryos in cold storage, even now in America, that one day will be destroyed if they are not adopted and implanted. There are difficulties with stuff like that. For example, I heard of a situation where these two couples using the same doctor got the embryos confused, and basically the women had the wrong baby. So this particular situation, these parents, these couples got together. Last I heard, they got together and worked it out. So I'm assuming maybe it was just a little too harsh to say they traded babies. Well, there it is. Well, I was asked, to help someone fill out a religious exemption request for these mandates. The first question in the mandate was, the religious exemption. The first question was something like, in your strongly held religious belief, how would this impact your taking the vaccine? The second question was almost the same, maybe a little slightly different, maybe a little less, in subtle ways. But that question was, in your strongly held religious beliefs, wherein is there a conflict with taking the virus? So you see, that would be two different issues, but almost the same, almost the same. And then thirdly, the question was, add anything that you want to add, kind of an essay kind, that would help, to describe your position about desiring a religious exemption. Well, as I thought about it, and didn't have a lot of time to think about it, but as I thought about it while I was trying to help this person, I said, well, number one, the major issue that comes to my mind immediately is the fact that fetal cells from aborted babies are used in the development of these vaccines. Now, is that true? Well, I have heard reports that especially in Johnson & Johnson, it's true. Well, so I looked up on the internet, which is dubious now because you know who controls all that. But I read a statement by James Lawler, a practicing Catholic and a doctor. So, does the COVID-19 vaccines contain aborted fetal cells? His answer is no. The COVID-19 vaccines do not contain any aborted fetal cells. However, fetal cell lines, cells grown in a laboratory based on aborted fetal cells collected generations ago, were used in testing during research and development of mRNA vaccines and during production, research and testing on the mRNA, that would be Moderna and Pfizer, and during the production of Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So the man says no, and then he tells us that that's not right. It is yes. It is yes. I mean, like we're, like we can't read. Look, does it matter to you when the baby was aborted? So it was aborted generations ago, so it makes it okay? So there's no question. Now, when people took this vaccine, did they know that? They did not. It only came out later. No one was saying. So if I am pro-life, and I'm pro-life because I'm a Christian. I'm not pro-life, I'm Christian. And Christians are pro-life. I mean, pro-life is not what animates me. Christianity animates me. But after hearing that read, it is clear to me, and I hope to you, that aborted fetal tissue is used in the development of these vaccines. And maybe other vaccines that we need to be careful with. So I'm not against the vaccine. I'm not even against the COVID vaccine. But I am against vaccines that don't work and vaccines that are dubiously developed. So the first, I would say, I'm pro-life and they have used aborted tissue from innocent children aborted to make these vaccines. And that offends my religious understanding. Now, the second thing I would say is that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That indeed, the Lord teaches us that we are indwelt. We are indwelt by the Spirit, and that we are His, and that we should be very careful how we use our bodies. Now, Baptists have for many, many, many years been against the consumption of alcohol because of its intoxicating properties. So that would mean that we are also, you know, that would carry over, that we are also against any drug that would intoxicate us. So when we say we won't use alcohol as a beverage or intoxicating drinks as a beverage, nor will we sell it. That would extend to drug use. So the argument with the Baptists is that I've heard this argued many times, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies. For example, in 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Now, of course, this is about the eating of things offered to idols, but it's the putting of things in your body, right? "For ye are the temple of the living God." As God hath said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God and they will be my people." So we are very careful about what we put in our bodies. We don't want to put in our bodies anything that would cause it harm. And the science and the evidence, the science behind these vaccines and the statistical evidence is that these vaccines can be dangerous to some people. Not to most people. And it's probably a very small minority that they are dangerous. But the younger the person, the more dangerous the vaccine. And you can look it up. The statistics are clear. And the more vaccinated areas have the higher incidences of new COVID cases. I saw something on Monday where New Zealand has, they're like 99% vaccinated and COVID cases are now spiking. Astronomically in New Zealand. Well, I've used this illustration. If you had a six shooter in your hand and you put one bullet in the chamber and spun it, you have a 5 in 6 chance of not being killed. Would you play Russian roulette with it? So, again, we are Christians. Our body is the temple of the living God. We should be careful, especially drugs, putting them in our bodies. The third thing I would say, that we are told in the Bible that we should love our neighbors. In fact, what is the great commandment? The great commandment. the great commandment is that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. So this in Mark 12, someone comes, a scribe comes to Jesus and asks him, and what is the first commandment of all? And he said, the first of all is the commandments is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And I think in Matthew, Jesus is recorded as saying, all the laws is summed up in these. To the Lord, the first tablet is our obligation to the Lord, vertical, and the second one is our obligation to our neighbors, fellow man, horizontal. Now, if I go or speak to and say, this is what you need to do, or if I go do it, then I'm showing my neighbor what he should do. So, and I may be bringing harm to him with my example. The third thing that I would say, and I thought of this later, I didn't get to tell this person this, but the next thing I thought about was that we, in Romans 13, we are told that we ought to be subjects to the power that be. Now, a lot of people have used that, that said to us as Christians, we must follow the mandate, because the mandate comes from a higher authority. Well, they were confronted with these kind of things in the first century. In fact, in the first century, people, in order to have certain occupations or be in the military or use certain things in the Roman Empire, going to certain places, that they had to give a pinch of incense and had to say, Caesar is Lord. Now, there were those who would pass some money under the table and would not say Caesar's Lord, but would give the incense. The guy that the official that they're supposed to say it to didn't make him say it because he bribed him. But everybody else, when he walked out of that place, believed he had pledged allegiance to Caesar, Caesar's Lord. The first confession of faith, the greatest confession of faith in the church is Jesus is Lord. And the church disciplined people who claimed to be Christians, and though they didn't say it, they appeared to have said it. And they would discipline them and many times excommunicate them as not being a faithful Christian because they violated the most basic Christian understanding, Jesus is Lord. Well, when Joe Biden, President Biden, mandated, he is telling us that he is Lord. And that he has exclusive right over everything we are, because if he can own your body, then he owns everything you are. And so, though someone surely can get the vaccine and can, based upon their own decision of doing that, their own understanding, and it would not be an offense to the Lord or to the church, to the Church of Jesus Christ. But when they began to be mandated, then that becomes another issue. Look, Jesus is Lord of everything. He is Lord of all the nations. The federal government and the President of the United States is not the Lord. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ says unto us, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's, we know immediately, not only from the teaching of Scripture, but from the experiences that have been written, the narratives that we are given, how these apostles dealt with authorities that went contrary to God. They said, we must obey God rather than man. Now, if we don't obey God rather than man, We have violated and sinned against our God. There is no neutrality. It is not a matter of if God or whether God, but which God. There's no neutrality. When they ate or offered sacrifices to idols, excuse me, the Lord said that they were sacrificing to demons. It's idolatry. If we don't serve the true and living God and we maintain some form of religion, we are idolaters. Where do you stop it, you see? Is it wrong for us to insist upon our rights? Is that wrong? There are a lot of Christians that say, well, we shouldn't just take what we get and we shouldn't insist upon our rights. Well, then the Apostle Paul was wrong. Because you remember the story, and we'll get to it in the book of Acts, where he appeals, he's a Roman citizen, and when they were about to do something to him, they were about to persecute him, he said, I'm a Roman citizen. You remember the guard got all nervous about that. And when he was before Agrippa and Felix, he appealed to Rome, and they said, oh, he might have lived if he hadn't appealed to Rome. But he appealed to Rome. He exerted his rights. And so, Jesus Christ, when he was on trial before the authorities, he exerted his right. When he was before Pilate, he said, you have no authority over me, except which my Father gives you. Well, it is not a selfish thing for you to insist upon your rights. Because when you insist upon your rights, you are insisting upon the rights of your neighbor. They have rights that you must respect. And so, there's only one way that all this stuff is going to end. And that is when the American citizens stop rolling over and start standing against tyranny. Was the American Revolution sinful because they stood against King George? And if it were not sinful, why was it not sinful? Or, when the Southern states in 1861 decided to leave the Union, was that sinful? And if it wasn't sinful, then why was it not sinful? It's the same thing. In 1776, you have an overarching, tyrannical, totalitarian government that is trying to subjugate people in the colonies, citizens of England. And they appeal to their God. We have been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Without God, there are no rights. And there's only one God, the true and living God, the Christian, the God of Christianity. So He has given us rights. No man has a right to take these from us. We are not given. See, if you're an atheist or if you think you can have a government without God, then basically, and if someone submits to that, they're basically saying it is the government that gives us these rights. But that was contrary to the founding of this nation. They did not believe a government. They did not believe the government gave you your rights, civil government. They believe your rights came from God and that they were willing for certain benefits to curtail these rights based upon this covenant called the Constitution. Well, don't you think it's interesting that they say that people have a right, that two men have a constitutional right to marry each other? Or a woman has a right to abort their, and they insist upon that. And at the same time, these same people are trying to take from us enumerated rights in the Constitution. For example, the rights to keep and bear arms, or the right, the freedom of speech, or freedom of religion. Those are spelled out. They deny those and have these vague, esoteric rights that are not enumerated at all and are not constitutional at all. Well, we must stand. They didn't do that for themselves, but they did that for others. Their sacred honor. That's what they said. That we're willing to lay on the line our lives, our properties, and our sacred honor. So the only way this is going to stop is when the American people rise up and say, no, you are not Caesar. The Constitution of the United States is our Caesar, and we will render unto it the thing that it demands of us, and we will render unto God the things that are God. And these things are not in conflict. Only when the Constitution is twisted and abused are these things in conflict. Well, I think we do have a religious exemption. Now, whether they will agree with us or not, I cannot tell. But I do think they're good people that are caught in a situation in civil government that they don't really know what to do because they've not been trained. They should have sat under good preaching. But the lower magistrates, you see, the reason that the American Revolution and that the war for Southern independence was not sinful, because it wasn't a bunch of rebel rousers going out demanding anarchy. But they were lower magistrates, duly elected people, who stood against the tyranny of the higher magistrate. And I know this is really not politically correct, but in 1861, it wasn't a bunch of rebel rousers that got guns and started shooting Union soldiers. Every state had a convention with duly elected people from the, elected representatives went to the secessionist conventions and voted to stand against the tyranny of Abraham Lincoln. I know he's Honest Abe, but he only became Honest Abe after all this. So, what shall we do? Well, we surely shall pray for those that are on the front line of this. And maybe if everybody in the hospital walked out, every employee of the hospital walked out, what would they do? I think they'd start listening. If every fireman walked away, if every policeman walked out, I think they'd start listening. If every employee of the IRS would walk out, I'd be happy. Anyway.